Hello and welcome to our group therapy session, Legends of Philadelphia.
It's free.
We're your hosts. I'm Tony Trove, and this is my schoolyard chum, Johnny Zito.
Hi.
Joining us, as always, is fellow Philly phobe, Brian Bierman.
That means I'm afraid of Philly, right?
You tell us. You might be wondering, why do all these ink blots look like pretzels? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Zito and I have a lifestyle brand, South Fellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes. Lots of times, customers will ask, is the Philly fanatic suffering from a manic disorder? Or they want to know if you can have someone committed for putting mayo on a hoagie. Yes. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for the new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with yous.
With you, and you,
and you, and you, and you. And all he is.
We're back again. Some people said we had to be crazy to come
bring
back.
Yeah, it's raining, so my pants got wet. So unfortunately, I had to wear socks and sandals.
Not unfortunately, you look great.
I think it looks horrible.
Yeah,
those socks are pulling a lot of weight.
$16 at South Fellini.
And those aren't Kanye.
No, they're
slides,
not
flip flops.
No,
slides,
not.
Sandals.
No.
No.
I don't support that. But I do support socks and sandals.
That's right.
And I don't care who knows it.
There is an article that said it's like elder millennials like specifically hate socks and sandals. And
I'm 35, so I'm right in that meaty part of the
meaty part.
The meaty part.
Zito and I are elders.
Yeah, it's you won't get it, Grandpa. That's what all the kids are doing.
Kids these days.
So for our first official episode back, our first topic, we decided to dig into Walter Jackson Freeman II, a Philadelphia physician who wanted to simplify lobotomies and make them accessible to everyone, even those on a limited budget.
I hate this.
Freeman invented the transorbital lobotomy procedure, otherwise known as the ice pick transorbital technique, and took his show on the road. Freeman traveled across the country performing brain surgery door-to-door in his lobotomy mobile.
Door-to-door.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Lobotomy.
You better not be selling vacuum cleaners. No, I got something even better.
Something you really need. Are you guys familiar with lobotomies or the lobotomy mobile?
No. I mean, I know what a lobotomy is, but I never heard of the lobotomy mobile. It sounds like... It's not as good
as like Mr. Softy,
but not as good. Yeah.
There's a jingle.
We're great. I guess when you're done, it's
we're great.
You got to make sure you order off the secret menu when you're getting your lobotomy.
If you have no idea what that is, you got to listen to all 147 other episodes.
You got to check the archives. I don't remember a lobotomy mobile, but I do remember being
as a kid.
Mom,
let me get $10.
Get Michael, Mom. He's here.
It's time. I was always the first kid in line.
Mm-hmm.
So Walter J. Freeman was born on November 14th, 1895, and raised by his parents in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They lived in Rittenhouse Square, which was once a fancy but kind of dingy at the time neighborhood.
So what's the difference
between now?
Well, it has its ups and downs.
Rittenhouse Square, they call it, you know. Gross.
His home was constantly in a state of reconstruction. He was tended to by servants. He was always distant from his immediate family, but he grew up well-to-do.
Rich people
stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
Yeah. And I guess they mention in his biography, it mentions that his house was always under reconstruction. I think maybe as a kid that had some kind of lasting impression on him because he's always trying to fix things. He's always trying to fix people.
All right, Freud.
Sometimes drywall is just a piece of drywall.
Walter Freeman's father was a successful doctor, but he hated his job. He was a depressed man who spent long stretches of time outdoor hiking. He was a strange man, prone to inexplicable leaps in logic. Once, after being caught skipping school, Freeman's father whipped himself in front of the truant officer as punishment for his son.
What?
I'm sure that truant officer never reported another kid absent again. It was like, that was probably traumatic for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do that. I'm just get back to school.
He was like, no, no, I want to do it. I'm going to show my boy one way or another.
The kid's like, Dad, again, stop whipping yourself in public, please.
Just stick something in your eye. Please.
At a formative age when Freeman began to show interest in the opposite sex, his father awkwardly gave him a lesson on gynecology using his ancient medical textbooks complete with woodprint diagrams of genitalia. Young Freeman was so disturbed by the father-son chat that he claimed to remain a virgin well into adulthood.
Woodprint genitalia.
Yeah.
That's like some, like, Dr. Frankenstein stuff.
Man, I hate to get a splinter there. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm talking about. I point it if you're listening on.
I mean, with a father like this, I guess we're lucky that the worst thing he invented was the lobotomy.
Yeah. What do you think if his dad didn't whip himself? He would have been like, I invented a new type of ice cream. He would have been like way
super
different person.
Cherry.
Yeah.
This is why being a parent is hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't, if you're a parent and you're thinking about whipping yourself in front of your kids, don't.
So Freeman's dad hated being a doctor, but Freeman's grandfather, William Williams Keene, was well known as a surgeon in the Civil War. He loved his job. He was very well respected.
He's a surgeon in the Civil War, and he was just like, I just love this.
I love it.
I just
love
do. It. I hope that it never ends. I'll switch sides. I don't even care. I just love doing it. That was back when they were just like, oh, you got shot in the arm? Yeah, but you got to cut your arm off. And it's like, oh, we cut your arm off? You're probably going to die.
You're just cutting it off, you know.
It's like, oh, you have a strep throat? Got to cut your arm off. Yep, sorry. I mean, what kind of doc? Like, do you think it was hard to be a doctor back then, considering his old quackery?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. Like, I mean, being a doctor now has got to be, like,
yeah,
you
got
to
study. Tough.
It's hard. Study.
Yeah.
Back then, it's just like, his blood is bad. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. That's the answer.
Better do cocaine about it.
Have you tried store-bought heroin? Because that helped me a lot.
Freeman's grandfather is noted for performing the first resection of a brain tumor in 1897.
So what's that mean? Like cutting it?
Yeah, it's
how many did he like? It's oops, whoops.
It says the
whoops.
First. It didn't say it was successful.
Resection makes it seem like I cut your tumor off and I put it on a different part of your brain.
It's on your elbow.
He also served as the medical consultant to President Grover Cleveland in both of his non-consecutive terms.
Wow.
Got the band back together.
Yeah. When he came back, he was like, bring him in. William Keynes can't do it without him.
He was waiting for that telegram that whole time. He was waiting by the door. Come on, Grover. Hit me up.
Walter idolized his grandfather. He was a good student, but sickly. Walter suffered tonsillitis, diphtheria, scarlet fever, measles, whooping cough, and mumps.
That's a lot.
But that's standard back then.
Mumps.
At the age of 14, he developed enlarged glands, which had to be surgically removed. The operation was a success, but resulted in muscle paralysis in his shoulders and head. Freeman's grandfather performed the surgery.
Wow. Did he remove his buccal fat, too?
Best cheekbones in Philadelphia.
Get some lip fillers while you're in there. While I'm out. Man, that's... I feel like now you wouldn't have like a grandfather working on their grandson, right? Isn't that
No, I mean, if you're,
I don't know.
I definitely would not feel comfortable cutting
into a
family.
Yeah, I would want somebody else
member.
Doing it. So then you can sue them when something happens.
I guess back then there was only a handful of people who were even doing these kinds of surgeries or whatever.
Yeah, he's the president's like circle.
If he's the best,
he's
he doesn't want his family to be going to somebody.
He's got the biggest leeches there are. He's got the best and finest leeches.
Grandpa enrolled Walter in Yale University in 1912 at the age of 16. Younger than his fellow students, Freeman had a hard time fitting in and struggled to make friends. He was fired from the school newspaper for being a klutz, and he was kicked off the swim team for refusing to practice without his shirt on.
Wait. He couldn't even. He was too much of a klutz to work at the newspaper. And
yeah.
He dropped all the little letters.
Like, sorry.
That's literally what he did.
They're all out of order. There's no way of putting them back in order.
I know you're joking, but that's what he did.
You know what I want to be when I grow up? A doctor. I want to fuck around when I'm
I know I'll not take my shirt off.
I respect that. You know, we're imagining like an indoor warmed pool, but we have no idea what situation he was swimming in. He could have been in the...
Coming outside. Sure. Right. Come in the Schuylkill.
After graduation, Walter studied neurology at the University of Pennsylvania Medical School. But
Well, this explains it.
But his early experiences as an intern were unfulfilling. He enjoyed theory, but didn't have the dedication for research. He was fascinated by surgery, but didn't have the attention span to master technique. But Freeman had a reputation for being theatrical. For example, after enduring a year-long bout of typhoid that he contracted from some dirty shellfish...
That is so gross.
Freeman planned to get back in shape. Once his health returned, he began walking long distances around campus. To rebuild his strength, he carried a heavy box filled with human bones.
Could have been a log.
It could have been rocks. Or a rock. Could have been anything.
Got these
bones. No rocks around.
Got these bones lying around. I got to figure out something to do with them.
It doesn't say. I couldn't find where he got them. I imagine.
I mean, he's a Penn student. It's probably one of the.
A cadaver or something.
I was like one of the fraternities. Like skull and bones, you know.
Yeah, he might have just dug them up.
He took it literally. Man. Do you think the other kids were like, that guy's weird?
Yeah.
Don't go near him.
When we went to Temple, there was a guy who used to walk around with a typewriter. I was really weirded out by him. He dressed like a 1950s McCarthy-era spy. And he carried a typewriter around with him. And I was like, "That there's something about that guy.
He dressed like Henry Kissinger. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He's weirded me out.
He would wear black leather gloves with a black trench coat and carry around a typewriter, a manual typewriter. That's what I imagine the energy that Walter Freeman was putting out.
With bones.
In another instance, Freeman was assigned to treat a young man with a metal ring wrapped around his penis. Freeman removed the ring with forceps, and when the patient requested the ring, Freeman refused.
What?
Instead, Freeman repaired the ring, engraved it with his family crest, and wore the ring on a gold chain for many years.
He kept it.
Later, Freeman would be known for keeping memorabilia related to each patient that he treated with a lobotomy, like a freaking serial killer.
Yeah.
What? Was it a kink? Or do you like,
one? Yes, which one? The patient or the
patient.
Doctor?
Well, the patient, obviously, yes. It's not like I tripped and
I fell in this ring.
I fell in this ring.
I looked it up. The patient said his excuse was that he went to go see a lady of the night and she placed it on there.
So you're mine now. Clink.
No, it just slides on.
I don't know.
It's like a.
You tell me, Zito.
You sound like you know a lot about these.
Go on.
I saw some wood engravings in a textbook.
They're about this big.
More nicknames.
He has like three of them.
Fuel for us, guys.
I'm wearing one right now.
That'll be on Patreon.
So he's all a prostitute, and the prostitute put a ring on him.
On
so
his
he
wiener.
Probably, like, was game for it. And
she said,
like, oh,
I like
shoot.
It. I'm going to put a ring
oh,
on
shoot.
It.
Oh, shoot. I can't get the.
Wow.
Put a ring on it. Not like that.
That's what Beyonce was talking about.
That's what Beyonce was talking about.
That's
cool. I don't know.
Do you think that actually happened, or he was just like, I'll blame it on a prostitute? Or do you think he was just like, oh, man, this got out of hand.
Where did you get a ring like that back then? Like, I know that some, I guess... We think these kind
Ye
of kinks.
Sex shop.
You think these kinks are like fresh and new, and then you like look, they're not.
Yeah, ancient Egyptians are using cock rings.
They're like, we did that.
We did that first.
We did that.
I guess he dined out on that story for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. At parties, it killed.
Like, he probably thought it would impress people, and everybody was like, oh.
Women were like, oh, really?
Cool.
After University of Pennsylvania, Freeman's grandfather got him a job in an asylum where Freeman introduced new therapies for mental patients, including shock therapy and electroconvulsive therapy.
That's
horrible.
I don't trust this guy already.
All of these methods were intended to fight psychiatric disease by using chemicals or jolts of electricity to disrupt unhealthy neural activity in the brain.
So it's quackery. That's why it was so easy to be a doctor back then.
You're right. It's quackery, but he's like onto something. There's a part of your brain that's sending signals to another part of your brain, and he's like, "How do we interrupt that?"
He had. There's a kernel of truth in there.
Yeah.
But he was like just cattle prodding people's brains.
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, wait, you don't have any rings in your dick, right? Because they'll melt.
They'll melt.
Let me take them off first.
Freeman's interest in brain surgery as a cure for mental illness was sparked by a trip to Europe, where he witnessed the dissection of an elephant. Opening the skull of the elephant took 4 whole hours.
It was hard being an elephant back then. They were like.
So this was going on in Europe. This is.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're dissecting elephants.
At least that's the worst thing Europe did around this time. So he saw an elephant getting like dissected, and he was like, huh.
He became obsessed over ways to more easily access the brain for surgery. Because this took 4 hours, cutting the scalp, digging through the skull.
Yeah, it's an elephant.
He's like, how can we get to that
juicy
brain?
Who set this up
they
in
had,
Europe?
Like,
who,
they had,
what,
they
what?
Had one of those big saws, like... Like you cut down a redwood.
Well, it took place in Italy. I don't know if the doctor was Italian. But,
sounds like something an Italian would do.
But we know.
Yeah. He was a French guy who went to Italy. No, an Italian guy did it. Accept that. You got to live with it. No Italian person did anything wrong.
Dr. Federico Zito.
He has my name.
No relation.
I checked.
We had to check before we do the episode.
I did a DNA test. I have no elephant in me. To Freeman, the advantage of surgical techniques over shock treatment was the potential to sever nerve fibers and prevent the thalamus from poisoning the patient's thinking.
That makes my eyes hurt.
So you have ghosts in your brain, basically.
Yeah.
That was medical... terms.
I mean, can you honestly? He's grasping at science. He's trying his best, right? I'm not trying to defend this guy, but he thinks he's on the cutting edge of science, right? And he's reaching and he's trying to explain things to people who have no
reference. This is like some true classism. Like, there's the super rich are like, let's just do some experiments on poor people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you a doctor? Well, I went to Penn. Well, how'd you go to Penn? I paid for it.
I'm very wealthy. My grandfather worked for the president. And I like to diddle with brains. Whatever. There's nothing weird about that.
Next. Next. Like, come on.
I mean, think about...
You don't think I'm a doctor? Watch this. Does anybody have a ring on their dick? Anybody. Watch this.
When Freeman returned to the U.S., he used brains from the hospital morgue to practice coring the prefrontal lobes. In 1936, he was ready for a live patient. Miss Hammett from Topeka, Kansas, 63 years old, and suffering from agitated depression.
You said the word coring like it's a verb we know, or we say.
I know corn like, and apples.
Yeah,
like,
is it like the cantaloupe?
It's scooper? Like that. Coring, it's like coring an apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what it meant, but it was like, huh, that word.
So he developed this like tool that kind of looks like a curved butter knife, and he would kind of like push it in and scoop it around and remove like a core of brain.
And he also invented the ice cream scooper by mistake.
On the day of the surgery, Miss Hammett changed her mind when she learned that her head had to be shaved. Much of her anxiety actually stemmed from her thinning hair. Freeman promised to spare as much of her hair as he could before forcibly anesthetizing her and shaving her whole head.
So she was like, I'm losing my hair. He's like, you know what? I think I got it. I'm going to cut into your brain and scoop out the part that's making you bald.
Wait, and then he told her, no, I'll try my best. I still shaved her whole head.
Yeah. What do you want me to do?
It's kind of crazy that this woman was suffering from anxiety about this subject, and then the treatment involved...
Making it worse. And
that's
cutting
like
in your brain.
Exposure therapy.
Yeah, but with brain surgery thrown in the mix.
Yeah.
You know?
That can't hurt.
Like, something makes sense of, like, hey, you're really self-conscious about losing your hair. Maybe shave your head and just... get over it.
Right, like an exposure sort of thing,
yeah, just,
right?
You know, take the jump or whatever. Make it your decision or something.
I'm afraid of snakes. Here I am with a bunch of snakes.
Right.
And also we're going to cut your brain open.
But also the brain cutting.
Let's put a snake in your brain. No. We tried that. It didn't work.
The snake gets all feisty.
Yeah. I don't want to hurt the snake.
Freeman then drilled 6 holes into the top of Miss Hammett's skull and cored her brain. Miss Hammett survived for 5 years.
How did he even kill you?
She survived for 5 years. According to her husband, these were the happiest years of her life. Freeman noted in his autobiography that Mrs. Hammett could go to the theater and really enjoy the play without thinking about what her hair looked like or whether her shoes pinched.
I don't care if I'm in constant
pain. It kind of sounds like...
For some reason, I feel great all the time.
There's one part of it sounds like a classism sort of thing, and then there's another part of it sounds like it's about controlling women.
Yes! What a surprise. The first patient was a woman. And the husband is like, you know what?
He's like, this is
perfect.
This worked out great for me.
Encouraged, Freeman continued. Some patients saw improvements. Others died on the operating table.
Hey, you win some, you lose some.
A lack of evidence that lobotomies actually worked made doctors critical when Freeman hosted a colorful lobotomy exhibit at the annual AMA convention in 1939, targeted at the press. And Freeman received a lot of criticism because he was targeting lobotomies to the press, not to other doctors, and being like, this is a really sound method of medical, psychological, or neurological practice, and you should invest in researching it and using it in your own work with patients who it maybe he skipped all of that.
He was like, I'm just going to go direct to consumer.
Yeah.
And he needed like the press to be his like voice in finding patients.
And they'll write an article of like this guy.
I mean, you're not selling to the doctors, you're selling to the patients.
Yes.
So
it's like the commercials you see. Ask your doctor about Zoloft or whatever.
About lobotomies.
Ask your local lobotomist about.
Ask your barber about lobotomies.
It's like people like riding bikes and like in the thing.
Butterfly. Yeah. There was a butterfly, right?
Ukulele music.
This is a quote from Freeman. Quote, I found the technique of getting noticed in the papers. Arrive a day or two ahead of the convention, install a graphic exhibit, and then be alert for prowling newsmen. Playing the role of barker, entertainer, and scientist, I used handheld clackers to draw reporters and frequently displayed a lobotomized animal. That night, my monkey may have died, but I made the headlines.
My monkey.
End quote. My monkey may
my
have
monkey.
Died.
Well, how many monkeys did he have? Where did you get a monkey?
You know the monkey guy? You know the monkey guy?
This guy had a monkey guy for sure. My monkey may
it
have
was
died,
like, but... it's an investment. Like
every time.
You have a booth, babe? No, but I got a monkey.
That monkey looks a little lethargic. No, this is a successful
this,
lobotomy.
This is what it's supposed to look
this
like.
This monkey has no anxiety at all now. This monkey was losing his hair, now look at him.
Now look at him. Just eats bananas and chills.
Oh, he had clackers. Like, hey, he was like a pickup artist, but for lobotomy. He was just like, if you wear a giant hat, then people will look at you.
Yeah, this is some P.T. Barnum nonsense.
Man.
By his own reckoning, of the first 623 surgeries, 3% died during or after the surgery, and relapses frequently occurred.
Relapses?
Yeah, so the anxiety...
Your brain grew back.
Yeah.
That's amazing that the body can do that.
It is. I guess he gets credit for that.
You can't fight human nature.
You can't fight
3%. Mother nature.
Sorry.
Are 3% acceptable losses? I don't know.
To this guy, they were. He was like 3%. I thought it'd be like at least 20.
Yeah, he was ready for double digits.
Yeah. He was like, oh, all right.
Not bad.
See, it does work.
In addition, the after effects of lobotomy, separate from the symptoms of mental illness, often crippled the emotions, inhibitions, and personalities of patients.
Yeah.
I guess it would.
Coring your brain will do that.
The most famous...
That's why they say don't core your brain.
That's what they...
That's why they say that.
That's why they say that.
That's where that phrase comes from.
That's why they say
that classic phrase. The most famous failure of Freeman from this period is Rosemary Kennedy, JFK's sister, who was probably the first mentally handicapped person to receive a lobotomy, and who then needed full-time care for the rest of her life.
That was considered a failure.
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask, because Joe Kennedy thought it was a great success.
He was like, hey, I solved that problem.
Yeah.
And was she really, like you said, mentally handicapped? Did you say that anymore? But, like, is that, was she really, or was she just, like, depressed or...
I believe she may have been a free-spirited individual somewhere on the spectrum.
Caught her reading a communist book, and they were just like, well, we got no choice.
She didn't seem to be terribly obsessed with her looks or femininity, and I think that was a large source of consternation among the family.
It's like controlling women. It's
yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's weird.
Many lobotomy patients needed to be retaught how to eat and speak. The patients often made clumsy sexual advances to their caregivers, urinated on their shoes, or sat unmoving for hours.
I do all that. I don't have a lobotomy.
That was an easy one.
That was a layup.
Layup.
So you would be free of your anxieties, perhaps, or whatever OCD was affecting you, but at the expense of your autonomy.
Your <life.
laughs> you wouldn't be able to go to the bathroom on your own or speak on your own. Not everyone experienced this, but many people did.
But there's got to be people who were like, it was great. Like,
well, Freeman saw the laziness and dullness as signs that the thalamus had successfully been derailed. The less a patient paid attention to their own troubles, the better. So, I mean, the way he was looking at it was...
Not a bug, it's a feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what you wanted, right?
I mean, I kind of... As a person who suffers with a lot of anxiety, I see the appeal.
I see the appeal.
I see the appeal.
If I could end it right now, it would be
like,
great.
I know that, you know, there's because of experience, because of hindsight and history, I know that the lobotomy is maybe not the way to go.
You tried one? It turns out that's crackery.
But I'm saying in 1945, crockery. I could have been sold on it.
Yeah.
I could have been easily sold
like,
on.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. No more anxiety, you say. And I'll be fine. You'll live out the rest of your life not worried about a thing. Oh.
That sounds great.
Sign me up.
I'm not going to worry about how I look. Wow.
you can wear socks and sandals and not have any.
Yeah.
Any
and not feel bad
not
about
feel
it.
Bad about it.
Not have to get shamed publicly.
I know. I would be a jerk for making fun of you.
But I wouldn't care because I'd be drawing on myself.
Making clumsy sexual advances.
Peeing on our orange carpet.
Hey Doc, you got those clackers? Can you use the clackers again?
Let me see that monkey again.
The patients love the clackers. State mental hospitals also found the trade-offs acceptable. Institutions overflowing with mentally ill servicemen from World War II were desperate for some relief. By 1945, Freeman set about to simplify the lobotomy operation. He settled on a U-Line brand ice pick from his kitchen and, inserting the pointy end into the tear duct, he punctured the skull, accessing the frontal lobe without the need for actual surgery.
U-Line, the company that sends the boxes and that giant catalog?
Yes.
They're still around. That's and how they got their start.
Who supported who funded the January 6th insurrection?
Yep.
Those U-Lines?
That U-Line.
We don't use them for our shipping, by the way.
W.B. Mason. This is
W.B.
Not a paid,
Mason.
This
is
not
is
a
Rio.
Paid advertisement.
Man, that's... Also, these guys come back from World War II, and they're like, you know, I saw some horrible things when I was over in Europe. And they're like...
Oh, I got a solution for that.
What do I have a solution for you?
Nobody wants to hear it.
No. Now close your eyes.
Is it therapy? No. It's better.
Is it therapy?
Is it...
But...
Is it empathy and understanding?
Is it empathy and understanding?
No, definitely not.
Definitely.
We're going to stick an ice pick
no,
in
we're
your
gonna,
eye.
You're going to man up and we're going to stick a metal U-line thing in your eye.
This isn't even the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah. Wow.
This isn't even the worst.
So do you think it was also just like, if I figure out a quicker way to do it, I can do more lobotomies and make more money?
Streamline it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This definitely feels like the Henry Ford method of lobotomies.
All right,
assembly
next,
line.
Next. You, next.
It'd be easier if they moved, not me.
Yeah.
If he could have motorized
I'll just say
it.
Planted, yeah.
If he could have mechanized it, he would have.
Can we teach one of the monkeys to do
can
this?
Can we teach one of the monkeys?
Freeman performed the first transorbital lobotomies in 1946 as outpatient procedures done without surgical gloves or sterile drapes.
I know that things are horrible, but the idea of no gloves skeeves me out so bad. It's like sticking your hand in your mouth, you know, your eye.
I'm going to wash my hands to do this.
Get
this is great.
Here.
You know how much time I'm going to save a year?
How much money gloves cost?
Listen, I just ate some bad shellfish, but I think I can still do this.
You know he's into shellfish.
Yeah.
That's true.
I just touched some peppers.
I just can't quit.
Freeman often sent patients home in a taxi an hour after the operation.
I guess they're not being able to drive.
I guess that's the safest thing to do is a taxi. But, you know, you can't even leave the dentist after surgery without someone picking you up. They won't put you in an Uber.
You're trying to say safe.
Yeah. They won't even put you in a taxi, though. You have to have
the taxi driver was now he's your caretaker. Hopefully he drives you to where you live. Although you're not going to be able to remember where you live because I just stick an ice pick in your brain.
This is the
don't bleed in the backseat of the cab.
Yeah. Putting a drugged person inside of a taxi cab is not a responsible thing to do.
Neither sticking an ice pick in somebody's eye. Not wearing gloves.
Another time. Another
I got
time.
Peanut butter all over me, but I don't care. I can still I can knock out three of these.
I got peanut
That's going to be weird. That sounds, if you're just listening to the sound, you're not going to know what that was.
That's why you got
to
watch us on YouTube.
Watch it on YouTube.
What was I sucking on? You don't know.
You don't know.
That should be a game on the show. Write that down.
Freeman enjoyed giving lobotomy so much, he bought a van, stuffed it with all of his brain scrambling tools, and hit the road.
Let's go on tour!
His cross-country trips in pursuit of lobotomy patients caused him to commit serious errors in judgment.
Yeah.
How did he know where to go? It's not like he has like the internet being like, hey, like making a place in order. Like,
stop in a town and set up and be like, hey, everybody, have you heard about this new...
Muncie, Indiana, are you guys... You need some lobotomy
are
around here?
Are you ready like, to rock?
It's like the Music Man. He rolls into town, he unravels this whole thing.
He screws up everybody and he moves on.
More than once, Freeman worked the ice pick so forcefully into his patient's skull, it broke off inside their mouth.
He was jamming it in there.
He was just really getting it.
Whoops-a-doodle.
Do you think it's because he jammed it in there so much, or was it it's so worn out from stabbing people's brains?
Right, like the handle. Just
he
like
was it. Like, I don't ever, believe it or not, I never even cleaned this.
It's from Uline. I mean, it breaks.
Don't send me another one.
Giant catalog.
Lifetime guarantee. Another time, Freeman accidentally killed another patient when he paused to take a photo during surgery and allowed the ice pick to sink deep into the patient's midbrain.
Because like one of those old-timey cameras.
It took 20 minutes.
It took 20 minutes, like a tintype.
All right, just wait. God damn,
don't
it
move.
Happened again.
Don't move.
Damn it.
I wonder if that picture is available.
It is.
I don't want to say it.
So how do they know he did this?
He had no
how
problem
did I get
admitting
in trouble
to it.
For this?
He how wrote
did
he, about it.
Yeah, he didn't. He put it
he
in his autobiography.
In his book. He was like, "Oh, you know, it's a funny story. The people love this. This
here,
one time,
here, here's one for you.
I killed this child because I left my ice pick in his brain for a little too long. It was hilarious.
But how did they all right, you just killed this guy. Yeah, but I'm a doctor.
Sometimes that happens.
If you're a doctor, it's not really murder.
Yeah, it's you lost a patient. You didn't murder them.
Yeah, that's the
it's
ultimate.
Not, it's
ultimate
not the rule
crime.
Still, is it?
Now you can sue now.
You can sue.
There was very little chance of that back then. Hmm. I mean, again, like Trove has mentioned, most of his patients are poor. They are without the means to fight back in the court systems.
Oh, man. That's insane.
I read another thing about him doing two at once.
They're like...
Yeah.
And then I saw another report from a nursing home where he demonstrated the lobotomy using a carpenter's mallet.
I can do it with anything. I can do it with a shoehorn if I want.
Using my finger.
I don't even got to wash my hands.
Wash my
Ugh. A mallet? How? Do you think he just like...
I mean, he probably. I mean,
shoved it up there.
No. He like hit the ice pick with the mallet.
Oh.
So instead of like using like a surgical hammer, like a tiny little thing, he had like a cartoon.
He did like, so many of them. He was like, "There's nothing to this."
Yeah. He's got to keep it interesting.
I got to make it fun for me, you know. It was like one of those hammers that goes, damn it! Like it makes a noise, like a little kid's hammer.
like a clown.
Like a
hammer.
Squeaker, yeah. Despite mixed results, caregivers continued welcoming Freeman because many lobotomy patients were easier to manage. Over the next 18 years, he performed 3,439 lobotomies while indulging his passion for cross-country driving.
Those are Hall of Fame numbers.
A frog and a bear, see America. There is...
I slept out under the stars. I killed tons of people on my way. I saw the country.
In 1967, Freeman received a visit from Helen Mortensen, one of his first transorbital patients.
Uh-oh.
Helen, yeah. What are you doing here?
Oh, hey, I thought you were dead.
He first treated her in 1946. She suffered a relapse in 1956, so he gave her a second lobotomy. Now Mortensen returned requesting a third lobotomy.
You got the good stuff, Doc.
Come on. I need it bad.
You think she'd be able to do it herself?
I'm starting to feel pain again. Can you solve that?
I do hate this.
It is kind of interesting that her brain kept growing back and that she had to have this repeated.
Nature finds a way.
Maybe it's like tattoos, you know, after you get one, you're just addicted.
Yeah, you're hooked.
You're hooked.
During the procedure, Freeman severed a blood vessel in Mortensen's brain and she died. Freeman's surgical privileges were revoked. He never performed another lobotomy.
So this was the 60s?
This was 1967.
Okay, yeah. So by this time they had like some accountability for something.
Freeman died from cancer on May 31st, 1972 at the age of 76. He was never sued for lobotomy malpractice despite the fact that 14% of his patients died during or immediately following the procedure.
14?
It was up from 3.
He got worse as he got along.
14%.
Yeah, that's a significant amount of people.
I guess if you do that many, there's going to be...
That's a lot.
He's
definitely being careless, too. I mean, the whole thing is careless, but yeah. Extra careless.
Yeah, he was like, I can do it with my foot. Watch. Ah, damn it.
I can do it with my socks and sandals.
Yeah.
I do imagine him rolling up in a Hawaiian shirt, black socks and sandals.
And he's like, all right, how many we got today? I'm trying to knock this out.
Yeah.
I got golf later.
I wonder how much money he made doing this. Like, did he become rich from this?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I'm sure he did some for free out of the goodness of his heart, but even if he only charged...
Kind soul.
Even if he only charged $100 per customer, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he's charging he's going to people's homes, sure, but then he's going to institutions, he's going to hospitals.
He doesn't have to even, like, have a rental to do it. He gets to go to you.
Yeah.
Line him up.
So I want to just quickly address, do we think that there's anything to the fact that the guy who invented the transorbital lobotomy is from Philadelphia?
I guess there's a lot of people around here I feel like could use a lobotomy. So...
I'll try
Makes
it.
Sense. Makes
I'll
sense
try it on
me.
The Patreon. I'll try one.
Have you signed up for the Patreon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trova lobotomized Bierman.
Yeah.
Okay, before we sign off, do you guys want to do recommendations? What you watching? What you reading? What you eating?
I want to recommend getting a lobotomy. No. I've been hearing a lot of good things about it.
This is the word on the street, isn't it?
Did I already recommend Sankey Chinese...
I believe you have.
Damn.
Let's talk about it again. We're trying to get free Sankey. We've been trying for 3 years. Sankey, please.
Well, actually, I got a sticker from them.
See, look, we're fans.
It's an authentic interest.
It's from there, yeah.
You're not just.
I genuinely love.
We ordered that for Christmas, the one
Christmas,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our Christmas party, Christmas meal.
Send us some ducks. Lobotomized ducks. They're not even going to be regular ones.
What about you?
I'm going to recommend Girls 5 Eva. It's a sitcom on Netflix. It's from the Tina Fey, 30 Rock people. So,
local.
Yeah, and
Adelco
it's all
local.
All media jokes from Adelco local.
Media Pennsylvania?
Media from media. Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about lobotomy mobiles. Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Visit us at 1507 East Passyunk Avenue in beautiful South Philly. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, Spotify, Apple iTunes. We're at South Fellini everywhere. Follow along and join the conversation. We want to hear from you.
If you've had a lobotomy, let us know.
Look out for new episodes of the podcast on Mondays. Stay safe, wash your hands, and don't stick an ice pick in anyone's brain.
Why do I gotta wash my hands? This guy did.